It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Oh, Trent Waves, we are back in the saddle again.
Yes.
Like that?
Okay.
You okay? You seem a little nervous today.
No, I'm not. I'm just looking at your shirt and remembering.
Oh, I'm wearing a Tiernog shirt.
Tiernog, and I miss going to Tiernog. Yes. You know, and I have two tokens.
Oh, that's right.
Still have two tokens for two drinks.
Jude.
That I can't wait to cash in on.
The bartender, Jude, gave you two tokens that we still have yet to use.
Actually, no. Chuck Inverso. Gave me two.
Chuck Inverso did not give you two tokens.
He bought me a drink for my birthday. That's how long it's been since we've been there.
Since March 11th?
Yes. And he bought us drinks, but I already had a drink, and I'm like, I don't want another drink. So Jude gave us tokens.
Chuck Inverso from the famed cousin of Peter Inverso. What I miss about Tiernog is saying my greeting to the bartender there. Which is, hey, Jude.
Which he's never heard before, I'm sure.
I'm sure he's never heard
that. You're the first one that's ever done that. Yes.
Okay, well, I guess it's that time. We have a guest here today for Podcastia's listening pleasure. Podcastia is what we call our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
They live in the land of Podcastia.
Right.
We have the very talented, very dynamic, a little threatening.
I'll take it.
But yet friendly.
Yes, yes, it's a balance.
The marvelous, lovely Linnea Love is with us today. I'm Trent Waves, and they love you.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing?
How are you?
I am awesome. I am very happy to be here.
We're happy to have you.
Very happy to be here.
To see a person in person.
Yeah.
I think this table is 6 feet, right?
Linnea Love.
Yes.
You're wearing a t-shirt that says Lady Love Productions.
Yes.
And the O is a film reel.
Yes.
Ooh, that definitely. Says it all, right?
Yes. That is my production company that I started last year. I started it last year.
Wow.
I think you were in business longer than that.
Yeah.
Well, no. I've been acting longer. But the actual, coming up with a name and doing my LLC, it took me a long time to figure out a name.
Really?
I couldn't figure out a name. It was so hard, and I'm going to tell you what helped me figure out a name.
What?
I binge-watched the entire 8 seasons of Game of Thrones, and that's how I came up with my name.
We couldn't get past the first 16 minutes of episode number one.
That's all we've ever seen, so I don't know. Where did the name come from? I know it came from that show, but was there a character on there?
It was just in regards to how they were speaking, and it was like my lady and stuff like that, and that's how I came. I was like, wait a minute.
I think I can merge the two together.
Mm-hmm. I literally watch Game of Thrones after everybody else. That's how I do shows.
Okay.
So I can enjoy them because people on the internet will completely mess it up.
No. So we actually met at Trenton Fashion Week.
Yes.
And you did a little spot while we were at the last day of the event.
Yes.
And we were talking about your roles in various local movies and independent movies. And that was your thing. You're an actress.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
But you're not just an actress, right?
No, no, ma'am.
So tell us a little bit more about that.
Acting is that first love, that first passion. Mm-hmm. I do love being in front of the camera. But I love being behind the scenes.
Oh, okay. Directing?
Directing and producing. More producing. I love being... I produced my own feature film, and I'm also producing a web series based out of Maryland, which is called The Introvert Life. So...
The what life?
Introvert life.
Oh, okay.
About, introvert life.
About my girlfriend plays an introvert because she's an introvert. And it's amazing how many introverts there are in the world.
Yes.
And how they find each other because she created an amazing following on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Just by putting up memes that relate to introverts and how you know, how you all just, how they work and what they like and... I like you, but from a distance.
Right.
Leave me alone. Don't touch me.
So is she thriving at this time?
She is loving quarantining. She's
I'm sure she is.
Loving it.
I gotta say, I totally get it. It's like, I want businesses to thrive. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to be unemployed or anything like that.
Yep.
But I really love it. Like, I'm doing so many things creatively now that I didn't have time for, didn't think about.
Yeah.
So...
It gives you the opportunity. mm-hmm. to reevaluate,
yes.
refocus, and mm-hmm. reshift and regroup. Like, it's a, well, I feel like creatives will appreciate it more mm-hmm. than other people because we're always on go.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to, oh, I'm working on something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could do something else. I have time.
Yes, yes.
Time is technically what we generally don't have because we're always trying to juggle.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of it
yeah.
right now.
And I think also when you have time to just do nothing sometimes, mm-hmm. really, like, I'm doing nothing, then it gives your mind a chance to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're resting, that's when the ideas come and all the creative juices start flowing. Mm-hmm. And, you all know, right. if you're really, you know, stop focusing on all the negative stuff, start thinking about, well, what can I do in this time?
Yep.
And I've got so much mm-hmm. time. I must have my no people days.
Yes.
Gotcha. You know what that is.
Love
like,
it.
Yeah. Okay, I've done with people. I need to be, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people, right. I know some people that cannot handle it.
Right.
Like, that's why they hate snow days, because if they're in the house 1 or 2 days,
they need people like, around. Yeah.
That's what I miss about this. Mm-hmm. I miss, like, we go to Lambertville and we go for a walk.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, let's go to, oh, no, we can't. It's not open.
Right.
You know, just to sit at the bar and, you
yeah,
know,
but a whatever. True introvert doesn't want any of that, ever.
I guess.
All right.
Let's go back to your friend and the show or the movie that yes. you're producing.
Yes, got you. Okay. Got you.
So I, first you. I want to ask, because this always confuses me, what mm-hmm. does a producer actually do?
The main thing, your producer is your financer.
Okay.
When you don't have investors, your producer is the person who wrangles all that together. And makes things happen. Now, in the independent scope of things, money is hard.
Mm-hmm.
So you utilize different resources if you don't have the monetary funds. So the producer also taps into those resources for the production, regardless of what it is, whether it's props, whether it's wardrobe, when it comes to food. Now, me personally, for my feature film, when we filmed 14 days, all weekends, I cooked for my cast and crew.
Oh, wow.
But I love cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So it saved me money in that aspect versus trying to find someone to cater and all that good stuff. I just cooked because
mm-hmm.
I'm used to cooking for a lot of people. It felt good for me. It was therapeutic for me in between producing, in between being the lead character and studying lines. That helped me not go completely crazy.
Mm.
Let me put it like that.
Okay.
So your producer is the person who makes everything happen for you behind the scenes before you start shooting.
So that must mean you're very detailed. Oriented.
I am. I'm very meticulous.
Okay.
I love things in order because what happens is once you get on set, you have no control over certain things. Once you get on set, like some things are out of control. Like if you lose a location,
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, it's not because of you. It's because of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've lost locations that we were supposed to film and had to scramble, you know, like at the last minute,
okay.
mm-hmm. which was hard. I think the hardest thing for us shooting Providence, which is my feature film, was when I was looking for something that resembled or was a police station.
Oh, okay.
That was the hardest thing. And I started in Trenton because I wanted, because I'm from here,
mm-hmm.
I needed something from here to be in it. I have a scene that I shot out here, but I wanted something else. And we were trying to work on that and it just fell through,
mm-hmm.
Which I was disappointed and I was stressed because it happened like probably within a month of when we needed to shoot those scenes, because 70% of the film is done in a police station type setting. But the way that the universe works is amazing. We were able to get a facility out in Woodbury, New Jersey. It used to be a jail. The jail part is closed, but the administration part was still open.
Right.
And the guy who plays my father in my film actually works for that county.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get it. And all we needed was, of course, all the paperwork that we had, because you have to go through the attorney and everything. Everybody's name, their social, because you got to get a check. You got to get a background check before you walk up.
Oh,
because if you got any warrants,
yeah.
they taking you. So, you know, they taking you.
That jail ain't closed anymore. All of a sudden, that jail's working.
They're taking you. So
yeah.
that was definitely, it was a blessing. And
mm-hmm.
it came out so great. But we were actually able to also go back and shoot like a pickup scene mm-hmm. in the actual cell. And like the guy, one of the top officers, his name is Steve. Steve was amazing. And he loves us. And he's, oh, it's full of meal. That was one of the weekends I cooked. The guards loved it.
Like, really?
When is this production coming? Because the other people don't do this. The other people don't do this.
So it's good to make these connections, because then you can always go back to those people because you made a good impression. You fed them. Yep. And they'll be like, yeah, if you
Especially when you can't pay them. Like, because, you know, it's hard. Mm-hmm. And it's like, people remember when you take care of them.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
I've been on a couple sets and I've been like, I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm thirsty. There's nothing going on in here. Y'all not feeding us? I mean, what are we doing? Like, I done drove or I done flew.
Right,
and
right. Mm-hmm.
That's not how you take care of your people, especially right. when you're not paying people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're telling me you're giving me a credit. All right, cool. But I'm coming here and I'm giving you my time. You can at least feed me.
It's like inviting someone to your home and mm-hmm. not putting out a piece of cake and a cup of coffee.
Of course.
You know? Something.
So now what does an executive producer do?
Well, those are the same thing. Except the executive producer, ooh, that's money bags.
Oh, I was going to say.
That's money. That's why I took from my 401k to finance this thing.
Oh, so 401k was your executive producer.
For my 401k was my executive producer.
Usually they're at the top of the food chain.
They're at the top of the food chain because there's actually several different types of producers. You're your line producer, your associate producer. There are different types.
Right.
But your executive producer and then right up underneath that, those are the two that make things happen
right.
behind the scenes. Because the director's job is just to direct. He shouldn't have to worry about nothing else.
Right.
My partner who directed, who also helped me bring this to life, he does all of that. But what he did was, because we've seen it so much, because when you see something so much, you tend to really tear it apart more than you should. Our editor now, like what he did was he put it all together. He did like a first official rough cut. And once he felt he was comfortable enough, then we found another editor. So we're already giving you the whole foundation. All you need to do is just make it flow just as effortlessly as you can. Because most of the time when you give a project to an editor, most people don't even have it already done. Right. They want you to put it together. You got to put the puzzle pieces together. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Ours is already together. You're just making sure those puzzle pieces fit where they need to fit.
What in your journey of life brought you to Trenton?
I was born and raised in Trenton. I am a Trenton girl. Like I said, I am, what is it? Jersey born, Trenton raised. Always and forever, my parents are still out here, which I'm out here regularly because of them. My mom is right up the street off of West State Street. My dad just moved to Bordentown, but that's literally 10 minutes away. But because of my parents, they're still here. They're still kicking. And my mom has dementia. So it's like, that's my girl. And I just left from there before I came here.
So she's in a care place?
No, my brother lives in the house with her.
Oh, wow.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that.
My mom has dementia as well, and my father takes care of her. Yeah. My father is he's 91.
He's
92. Oh, 92. My God.
92. She's 95.
Yeah. Bless his heart. Bless
his heart. Yeah, but they live next door to us.
See? I don't like, listen, as long as they can be in the house.
Yeah.
And there's someone there, and you guys are right next door, they won't get the same attention anywhere else versus, you know what I mean, where they are right now.
Yeah.
Especially during these times.
Yeah, right.
I would be scared for my mom to be anywhere else than where she is.
Right.
Yeah, so, but you know. Nope, I am a Trenton girl.
So you did the Trenton High School?
I did Trenton High School.
Oh, wow.
Podcastio, you are going to hear Miss Love herself. She's getting into character. And she's going to do a monologue from the August Wilson play.
We ain't talking about baseball. We are talking about you going to go lay up with another woman and bringing it home to me. We are not talking about baseball. Because I've been here. I got 18 years of my life to stand in the same spot as you. Don't you think I ever wanted other things? What about my life? What about me? Don't you think I wanted to know other men? That I wanted to lay up somewhere and forget about my responsibilities? That I wanted someone to make me laugh so I could feel good? You are not the only one with wants and needs and dreams. But I took all my wants, my needs, and my dreams, and I buried them inside you. And I planted a seed. And I watched and I prayed. And I buried myself inside you. And it ain't take me no 18 years to realize that that soil was hard and it was rocky and it wasn't never going to bloom. But I held on to you, Troy. I owed you everything that I had, everything that I could find to get. And upstairs in that bedroom, with all your darkness falling in on me, I gave even more to try to ease the doubt that you wasn't the finest man in the world, or wherever you were going, I was going to be there because you were my husband. And that was the only way I was going to survive as your wife. You are always talking about what you give and what you don't get. But you take too. You take and you don't even realize nobody else is giving.
I got the chills. That was so beautiful.
Man.
And how you just pulled it out and did it. Amazing.
That's a little unnerving.
That was... Aww. Aww. That's Man, when you really are in character. Intense. You're feeling those feelings and you're reaching somewhere. So let me ask you what's good.
It's like my favorite monologue.
And now I want to see the whole play with you in it.
I love that monologue.
Have you auditioned with that?
Yeah, it's actually... Do I have that up? I think it's on my YouTube and my Vimeo. That's
okay.
I've never posted me doing monologues before. I always just leave it to when I submit. But I, during this quarantine of revealing things, I said, you know what? People are not going to know if I don't show them.
Right, right. First, I want to know, how old were you when you realized, I want to do this?
Growing up, always into church. Mm-hmm. Always doing the church plays and singing in the choir growing up. But
here in Trenton, right?
Here in Trenton. Mm-hmm. But when I was younger, I knew it was something. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't probably until I got to middle school. I was like, I'm liking this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm liking performing. And I did take African dance when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you don't keep up with it, like, it was like, I want to dance. I want to get on stage.
Right.
Because I love theater. I love theater.
Mm-hmm. So did you like also going to see... shows, plays,
Broadway plays.
Do you remember your first Broadway play? Do you remember what?
Miss Saigon in New York.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? Was it really?
Okay. Miss Saigon.
I've never seen
what
that.
What was
one.
Yours?
It was Godspell.
Oh, wow.
Back in 1976, I think.
Wow. Mine was Annie.
Oh, wow.
I think we have every generation.
Yeah, we got every generation covered. We really do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to figure out the last one I saw was last year. I think it was Jitney. I think that's August Wilson as well. My birthday,
really?
And we saw Jitney for my birthday.
I'm so out of touch with what's on Broadway now. I think the last thing we saw was Man of La Mancha, but it was the one with Brian Stokes
Mitchell
playing Cervantes. And it's just...
It's been so long. Yeah, last year was the last time I've gone.
Well, we used to go a lot because we lived in New York, and we used to go to see a lot of independent stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of little small off-off-off-off-way. Where you cannot imagine the talent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think, oh, I'm going to Broadway to see so-and-so. You know, he's famous. But then you go to see something in someone's bedroom somewhere.
Yeah, really.
Like,
literally. Really.
And you're like, you see this raw talent that's just like, why isn't this person...
In a box.
You know,
performing in a box.
Yeah, in a box. Well, you're pretty much on stage with them because that's how small.
Yeah, you're part of the show.
Oh my God, he's sitting in my lap, and I can really feel him.
Yeah, right.
You know, the time has come for something new for this show.
Mm-hmm.
A listener wrote in.
Oh,
with a question.
Oh.
This person wants me to ask you about your role in the movie Three: The New Normal. Three, The New Normal. And at what point in your acting career was that role?
Oh, my
Three,
God.
The New Normal. So at what point in your acting career was that?
Three, The New Normal was 2016, I think it was.
Yeah.
I love comedy. And the premise of it, I thought it was interesting. And I was like, sure. So the premise of Three, The New Normal... Mm-hmm. The two lead characters, they're married and they practice polyamory. They are looking for a third person to bring in.
Oh, okay.
So
to be part of their life?
To be a part, like, and they become a family.
Okay.
So it's like, well, in this particular situation, it's the guy and the girl, and then they're looking for another girlfriend. Well, they have another girlfriend in the show. And it's people, it's the lead character who was Kurt explaining what it's all about, because some people just think it's just sexual because, oh, you got two women at home.
Right.
And he's doing that whole breaking the fourth wall to have a conversation with us. Like, listen, it's not what you think it is. I got to deal with two birthdays. I got to deal with two menstrual cycles. You know, I got to deal with two attitudes.
This is like a real thing?
It's a real thing. It's based off of the person who wrote it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's based off of him and his wife.
Don't those guys back in Salt Lake City in Utah, don't they have like five wives?
You're talking like sister wives.
Yeah.
No, in Utah, it's definitely legal, I think.
Oh, okay. Bigamy.
Bigamy.
Polygamy.
So this is polyamory. And I think, I'm not sure of the complete difference, mm-hmm. but I know that you have to be able to give both women in this situation mm-hmm. equal amount of everything. Mm-hmm. I played the girlfriend of the best friend to the lead. It was a great thing. And if people saw that, then you definitely know what chicken tenders mean. That,
well, the good news is there is a link to Three, The New Normal on the website, TrentonWaves.com. If you click on podcast, you'll see Miss Love's picture right there. There's a link right underneath the picture. You can go and watch it. It is in no way endorsed by Trenton Waves or DuPont City.
No.
And I have to say that for insurance purposes. No.
Oh, it's really? Okay.
That was fun. It was fun to shoot, though. Definitely fun to shoot. That was pre-Providence, pre-Lady Love Productions, pre-my feature. I think that was maybe my third webisode. It was a pilot for a web series that never took off. Theater stuff. The first part of my theater stuff was through World is Life Productions, mm-hmm. which was through Don Jones. God bless his soul. He was a counselor at Mercer County Community College.
Right.
That's where I went. And I loved him. And that's really, he was the one who cultivated the love even more for me.
So were you in a program for
My degree is in communications and theater.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I have another question. I want to know, what do you prefer, or do you? Do you prefer live performing, or do you prefer movies?
Definitely TV and movies.
Okay. Definitely. Why is that?
Because with theater, you're one and done. With TV and movies, mm-hmm. especially with movies, mm-hmm. you have to do... take several times. So you have enough time to make sure that you get it together in regards to mistakes that may happen, and you can just reshoot. Mm-hmm. On theater, you can't reshoot. And I love theater, but you can't reshoot. And that used to be my top one. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, not like this. Because then I can go look at the camera.
Right.
And then I can go back.
Do you like watching movies or TV, or do you like watching live theater? Which do you like? Audience member of.
I love being in the theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love, when I'm sitting at a show, I just get all these feelings. I want to be up there with them.
Right.
And when it's amazing, I'm like, oh my God, this is, especially when I get to meet the cast after. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's amazing. I saw Kim Wayans at the Bristol Riverside Theater.
Oh, really?
Sometime last year. Because she did a one-woman show. She played God.
Oh, wow.
I sat right in the front, and it was amazing. It was just her and two other people. Her two angels.
Oh, wow.
Yep, it was amazing. She played God, and it was amazing. God was a female.
Drama, comedy? Wow.
It was a comedy.
Oh, really? What was it?
It was a comedy, and I had when I tell you I sat in the front, I'm here. This is her. I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, really? That's exactly what it was.
That's right.
That's exactly what it was.
God forbid your phone go off. Oh.
We just went to see B.B. Newirth in A Small Fire.
Small Fire.
There's nothing like that live theater, We got to meet her afterwards. It was really nice.
I love that. I love stuff like that.
Yeah, there was a reception.
It gives you a chance to acknowledge the artist versus just they're whisking off into the sunset. I want to talk to you. I want to tell you how good you were. You sucked.
Now I have another question. What are you working on right now that you're excited about and you want to share?
We should be seeing the first rough cut for the Introvert Life pilot. Okay. Mm-hmm. We should be seeing that, I think, in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Looking at that first rough cut, seeing if we like it, seeing how it looks. So I can't wait for that.
That's going to be a series.
Okay. That's going to be a series.
Well, as soon as you have something you want to show, send it to us so we can post it on Trenton Waves.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we'll do a promo on the show. Mm-hmm. What about Providence? When is that coming out already?
Frank, aren't we in a pandemic right now? What do you want me to do?
Didn't I show you the trailer?
You showed me the trailer.
Oh, can we put the trailer up? But
no, we can't. No one can see it. It's on her computer. So it's not available anywhere.
What I am sharing is my reel, because my reel is all from my movie. Mm-hmm. So I have that. That is shareable. Because, you know, with everything that happened with when this all started, mm-hmm. what we did in February, we did a focus group up in Newark, New Jersey, mm-hmm. at their building called Newark Express. And we did a focus group, and we showed them Providence, mm-hmm. and we got feedback, which was amazing. Based off of that feedback, it was like, this is the only thing that everybody was in agreement about what they were missing. They wanted, like, a little bit more backstory on my Mel Lee character. Mm-hmm. We were going to shoot a couple scenes, and then everything got shut down.
Oh, wow. So you didn't shoot those scenes yet?
We didn't get a chance to shoot them yet. So now once...
Is that a movie or a series?
That's a feature.
Oh, okay.
That's a feature. So mm-hmm. once we're able to do that and add that in, mm-hmm. then we can finish post-production. Okay. Because I had told Frank before, we still have to get it scored. Mm-hmm. And then the coloring...
When this does come to fruition, which it will, where are you going to show it?
That's going to be the complexity. Now, we're definitely going to do the film festival circuit.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How things work out with this corona situation mm-hmm. dictates a lot, because I would like to do 1, 2, 3 premieres.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want to do 3. One in North Jersey, because some of my people are up from that way that participated in the film, and... One, it has to be somewhere in between here and Philly, like a happy medium. Mm-hmm. And then third. My acting coach wants me to do one in Atlanta. The young lady who played Captain Rose Underwood, she's all the way from Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. You play a cop.
Yeah.
That's right.
I love badass characters. Mm. But I also love flawed characters. And I wanted this particular character to be as flawed as she could be. No makeup, no good wigs. My experience when it comes to going to auditions and casting calls, you're not pretty enough, you're not small mm. enough, your hair's not long enough, your boobs are too big, like, you know, your teeth are too big, like, mm-hmm. you have too many features that stand out, like, you're not what we're looking for. And certain people, if you let that stick in you, it'll eat at you. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to let that eat at me. And I refuse for people to tell me you can only play certain roles mm-hmm. because that's a bunch of bullcrap.
Right.
I can play whatever I want to play, mm-hmm. especially if I create the character. Nothing is stopping me from creating a particular character. So in doing that, I gave myself the power to see myself the way that I knew I could bring it out. And I've always wanted to be a cop. Mm-hmm. Always wanted to be. I think that along this journey, people love to typecast. That's been a major thing. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, I'm not playing Boonquisha. I'm not doing it. It's cool if you want to do it, but I'm not there. Like, I want things that have substance. In order to do this job, because it's not easy, you know what I mean? Everybody want to be an actor, everybody want to be a rapper, a singer. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. But when you constantly study, and I'm paying for classes and coaches.
It never ends.
Mm-hmm. I have two coaches mm-hmm. right now. Two different coaches right now. And they're both based in Atlanta. Mariska Phillips in New York, she was one of my coaches. Tracy Moore in New York, she was one of my coaches. Karen Vicks in Philadelphia was one of my coaches. And I've done a host of workshops and classes, you know, to just keep learning. And now I'm working with Jonna Johnson and Carl Kennedy. And like I said, they're both in Atlanta. And it's me learning my craft, not just saying I want to be an actor. It's me learning the craft. You know how many books I got? Mm-hmm. I love to read. Mm-hmm. And really, the best part about this is... The best job you can have is watch television and watch movies, because then you see what you want to do and you see your... I can see myself doing that. Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me I can't play a nurse? You mean I can't play the president? Mm-hmm. Lies.
Right, right.
Lies.
I remember going to a workshop. There was a panel of, you know, producers, actors, mm-hmm. you know, going to tell us, like, how to proceed. And then, like, the guy is sitting in there, the white dude... Older white dude,
Why did you say that?
Because he was typical. I like how she said it. The,
you know, we're white, you
of
know.
Of the machine. Right. Go ahead. Okay.
Typical yeah, white duh. Dude.
But he was that. He looked. He had the look. Right. So here I am saying that. But he said, well, I'm looking around the room, and I have to tell you, if you're not blonde and stacked, you might as well just stop. Oh, here, me and my friend, brown hair, not stacked at all. You know, just average looking. Mm-hmm. Average looking. And what? And you say that, and that's kind of insulting, too. You're average looking girls. And I'm like, well, I guess we're done. And then you see why women do all the things that they do. Like, they do the implants, and they do the this and that. And you're like, if you're making movies about life, then how can you just pick that kind of a person to star in your movie? Because we're not all like that.
Mm-hmm. That's like the equivalent of when they say they're looking for everyday people, but then you don't choose everyday people. You choose people who are not everyday people. They don't look like you. They don't look like me. They don't look like Frank.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't choose those type of people.
Right.
And it's not fair. I have heard it from a casting director before. Oh, you're great. You're wonderful. You're like, your acting is on point. But she looks better. Mm. Her acting sucks, but she looks better. I've heard that before. Mm-hmm.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, I've heard some horrible stuff.
It's amazing that people even stay in the business because it's so, if you don't have a strong sense of who you are, it'll destroy you. So the question I ask all our guests is, because we're talking about Trenton, people who have come from Trenton, if you can imagine your dream Trenton, what would it look like?
A beautiful cascade of hustling and bustling creatives. And awesome people coming together to just keep the city beautiful. Like, I think Trenton is already beautiful.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
You're not the first person who said that.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
It's already beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, anywhere you go, you'll find your tough spots. Mm-hmm. But it's already beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's just continuing to take care of the landscape and take care of each other. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of things have fallen off. You know, we don't take care of each other anymore the way, you know, that we used to. And I miss that. Mm-hmm. I remember growing up and, like, if I did something, oh, my neighbor was going to get me and then tell my mom. And then my mom was going to get me.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, those things, you know, even like when my son was growing up, in a certain people I knew, if you catch him doing something he has no business doing, you handle it. And then once you tell me, I'm going to handle him once he get back home after you're done with him. Mm-hmm. Like those
type of things. You back up the person.
Like, because sometimes I don't hear a lot of that now. I hear, oh, my child ain't do this. Listen, we were all kids at one point. We all did something we had no business doing.
Right.
Yep. Don't think that your child is any different than anybody else's in regards to getting in trouble as a kid, because that's what kids do.
Right. Absolutely. It's about testing stuff. I did it. Like, I tell him, he yells at kids sometimes, like, hey, get out of the car. I'm like, Frank, they're kids. Look at what these kids did. I'm like, can I tell you what I did when we used to take stuff. The construction workers were working on the road, and we'd take the signs, and me and my friend would carry them in the night and throw them in the lake.
Oh, my God.
We'd take all their stuff. Anything that wasn't nailed down, we'd throw in the lake.
Statute of limitations.
Yeah.
You can't come get her.
Can't get me now, and I'm not going to tell you what town it was.
I love it.
Because you're kids, and you're bored, and you're like, let's see what we can do.
I love it.
Yeah, I like that vision. It's not, you're not the first person to say Trenton is already beautiful.
Yep.
It is. Anything can get improved and better and, you know, worked on.
Linnea?
Yes?
Would you like to stick around for a little something we call plugs?
Sure. Trenton Waves Plugs.
Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
TrentonWaves, TrentonWaves.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and like us several hundred thousand times. And we're going to bring it over to Linnea Love. Where can people find you? Where can people see you? Where can people know you? Where can they go online to find all things Lady Love?
So it's www.linnealove.com. That's my website. It has all of my social media links for Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I do have social media for Providence. It's Providence Movie all over everything. And then for my production company, Lady Love Productions, is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You guys can follow me. I definitely follow back and I give shout outs. Follow me, everybody. I appreciate you two for having me here today.
Oh, let me ask you one more question, please.
I love her.
How can people help finance film if they wanted to do that?
Yeah. We are going to do an Indiegogo because we had a meeting about that and trying to take some of the pressure off of me. We're going to do an Indiegogo just to raise a couple more dollars just to finish covering post-production. Mm-hmm. So we are in talks in regards to launching that because we shot video footage for that as well.
Okay, good.
So that's getting edited as well too. On Wednesday, I'll be on the Dear Sis podcast with MJ the new Pod City Podcast Network.
Oh my goodness gracious.
If you're looking for a lovely journal to either have for yourself or give as a gift, check out her new journal.
Okay, everybody. Well, this has been yet another episode of Trenton Waves. Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.